Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com. And also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank. This is NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe. Getting you set for Patriots and Chiefs. Patriots.
And the New England defense has scored yet another touchdown.
Chiefs.
McCoy. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Now, broadcasting from the Best Yet studios in Foxborough, it's NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance, with Fourier, Wiggy, and Keefe on WEEI.
Fourth and final hour of NFL Sunday as we broadcast from the Best Yet broadcast booth right across the street from Gillette Stadium, which will be the site of Patriots and Chiefs. 4:25 kickoff. The Pats come in at 10-2. Kansas City is 8-4. It is Keith Fourier and Wiggy. You can join the show, 617-779-7937 to jump aboard. We have one eye here on Baltimore and Buffalo. Ravens lead the Bills 17-9 with just over 3 minutes to go in that one. But as for the Patriots today, the offense certainly has been scuffling for, I mean, you can even go back to the Bills game, week four. From that on, the offense has not looked all that impressive. This is the group that they have. You know, unfortunately, Wiggy, we gotta forget about Antonio Brown, or try to. This is the group that they have. If there was one guy that you think could have a big game on offense, let's leave Edelman out for this conversation. Mm-hmm. One guy besides Edelman against his Kansas City defense, who would you pick? Exactly.
Isaiah Wynn.
You're going with a lineman. Okay.
Sony Michel.
There you go. Okay, I was curious if it could be him. We talked about his numbers last year in the AFC title game, which were great. They ran him a ton, up over 100 yards. He got in the end zone a couple of times. Of course, he also had a different offensive line and a fullback in that game.
Right.
But it seems like – I feel like we've done this three or four times this year on the show. It was – well, if it's not this game for Michelle, then it won't be any game, you know?
I'd like to know what Mohamed Sanu's injury level is, because I would say maybe him.
Yeah, I mean
– who can you – I was going to say, like, I would take N'Keal Harry out. I would take Jacoby Meyer out.
Dorsett?
Rex Burkhead. I feel like Dorsett, no. I mean, none of those guys –
so
they
it has to
be my
Sanu, Michelle. I mean, and White, even White's kind of cheating just because, you know, White had big games in the past, and he's a guy that
maybe Philip Dorsett could sneak in the back door. He gets open. He runs down the middle of the field. You know, they got a little play action, this, that, and the other. They got a double pass, or they got the, you know, halfback, you know, whatever it is, or a flea flicker. Maybe you could say either him or Sanu.
I think Sanu, I still think if I'm going to go in order, it would probably be, listen, we're going to get Edelman the ball. Got to figure out a way to keep him involved, even though people are going to double team him. We also need to get the running game going.
Yeah.
Because that is, why force the issue another way when you know the most advantageous option is running the football against a team that can't stop the run?
Right.
Everybody is running against them. Houston was terrible at stopping the run. You did a great job early in the game. You went away from it. Why'd you go away from it?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, does it?
You know, because they forced you to throw it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they knew that if they forced you to throw it, they would have more they'd be in a better situation because they'll double Edelman, and they know that these other guys can't get open on their own.
Well, the running game has got to work on first down, where you have to get, and we always talk about, you know, yards per carry, but you got to put yourself in a position where if you run the ball on first down, you look at it and you go – you say to yourself, you go, we are now in 2nd and 6, 2nd and 5.
Right.
You can't run the ball and go, we're in 2nd and 8, 2nd and 9. That's where I think their biggest problem has been running the football all year, is that you see those plays that are, you know, either no gain or 1 yard gains on first down. Now it's 2nd and 9, and then you throw, and it's a complete pass, and now you're 3rd and 9, and now you're screwed.
On the flip side, who do you think is tougher to contain, Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce?
who's hotter to contain?
In this game?
In this game, for this team. Yeah, not just overall in a vacuum. I'm talking about for the Patriots, based on their personnel and everything. Would you expect Tyreek Hill to have a bigger game than Travis Kelce? Like, is one guy you think they could limit?
But that's different, though. Who could have a bigger game? I think harder to contain. Would be Travis Kelce.
Okay.
The reason why is because you'll double Tyreek Hill, so it'll be easier to contain a guy that you're double.
But you could double Kelce, right? Like, if you thought that he was the
right, but if you double Kelce. Who's more likely to make explosive plays?
Hill, with no doubt.
Right.
No doubt.
So you're going to double Tyreek Hill. Travis Kelce, you might not double him, so he's going to be hard to contain because he's going to see one-on-one coverage. You see what I'm saying? You're asking a question that it's like –
Yeah, but I almost feel like they almost put themselves in a really – just really significant winning situation when you double Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
And you put your best corner, maybe in the NFL, on Travis Kelce. Yeah, okay, he's bigger, but so what? He ain't blocking anybody.
No.
He's not blocking anybody.
But, you know, he might be able to make some of those plays because of the fact that he is bigger, right? So he might be able to make one of those jump ball plays where he jumps up over Stephon Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore's going to be right there because of his speed and his athletic ability, but Travis Kelce jumps up and makes a 30-yard catch.
I think you feel good about your situation.
They seem to have the personnel compared to anybody in the league that can limit those guys.
You feel good about it, but I think Travis Kelce becomes harder to contain because he's seeing one-on-one coverage. And granted, Stephon Gilmore Moore is the best corner in the league, but you're talking about the best tight end in the league. So that means you line him up in the slot, and maybe Gilmore's not used to that. You run Kelce up the seam, and all of a sudden he's able to go up high because he's 6'6 and 6'7 and take one off of Stephon Gilmore's helmet.
And the Patriots should be able to, like, at the end of the game, the Patriots should have more rushing yards than Kansas City.
They should.
I mean, I don't know if they will. I think they've been obviously a letdown there. But if you look at the flip side, Kansas City is not great at running the ball.
No.
And then you take out Damian Williams, and you look at what they have left over there. It's maybe not even average. Like, it's probably below average. Now, they're a little bit better off because teams do have to be so concerned about Tyreek Hill, and they might even run him, like, on a couple of, you know,
sweeps or whatever.
But, you know, they're so concerned about the passing offense that maybe they can run a little bit more, but that might be a simple stat. You know, turnovers is an easy one, clearly, but just who has more rushing yards at the end of the game might determine who wins.
Well, I think it's the Patriots then.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots have the ability to, I don't think it's going to look exactly the same as it did last year, but as far as in the AFC Championship game, but I think the game plan should be the same.
Yeah.
Now, they have a different defensive coordinator, so maybe there's a wrinkle here or there that they haven't seen, or maybe it's just, I think the most important thing is just the mindset. Like, I remember we spoke to Spagnuolo, who is the defense coordinator for the Chiefs now, last year, and he was out of work, obviously, but he was part of that team that was it with Philly. Was it Philly? It was the Giants. And his mindset was just, listen, when you're up, even if you're up like two scores, you have to act like you're down. Like, you can't play passive. You can't be tentative. You still have to attack because you got to know that the Patriots can always come back and win.
Right.
But see, I think, so then that goes to, when you look at this game, which team has the ability to, say, make more explosive plays?
Kansas City does, without question.
Right. So
that's why if the Patriots are down 14 or 20, I think the game's over. But if the Chiefs are down 14 or 20, you need to keep watching because they could come back
quickly. They did it two games 100%. Last year, twice when you played them.
Slow first halves. Mahomes, you're like, he's mortal. And then he scores 24 in the fourth quarter in the final game.
So when you look at it, then you got to say, okay, this game has to be played under 23 points. That's what you have to say.
Well, I mean, you could go back and forth, potentially.
But do you have what it takes to go back and
forth? See, I don't know if they do. And I know against Kansas City's defense, it would be easier to do that than, say, Baltimore's defense. Although Houston's defense is nothing that special.
They're about the same.
I
would say they're probably pretty much the same. You look at the stats and, you know, plus or minus a couple yards or whatever.
But they are similar. But, I mean, Collinsworth made the secondary out to be like this world-beating secondary with Houston.
But who had more explosive plays in that Houston Patriots game? And explosive plays would be 20-plus yards or more passing plays on passing situations.
Well, who did?
We know that.
Houston had a few.
Yeah, we know that Houston had the touchdown
But there wasn't anything crazy, right? Or am I already forgetting?
And you kept Hopkins in check. It was the tight ends that really beat you in the first half.
Yeah.
And then you had turned it over. It gave him good position. I mean.
No, but your point on the Patriots, like, where are their big plays coming from? I don't know.
Right.
It has to be a James White well-blocked screen where he makes one guy miss and takes off. Like, that's sort of what you're
hoping. Or like he had late in the game where it was a check down and he's able to get by a guy. And, you know, it's got to be one of those plays.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen those plays a far and few between all year. I mean, think about their screen game. Usually it's pretty good. But this screen game hasn't been very good.
It's like part of their offense. Instead of it being an auxiliary play, a complementary play to another run that they would throw out there maybe once or twice, they run it way too much because they don't have anything else
to
run.
That's what they just
so
go
it becomes
to.
Obvious. Yeah. They don't have as nearly as much success with it.
Oh, by the way, as we're looking forward to hopefully a big Mohamed Sanu game. Emmanuel Sanders is up over 140 yards, I believe, with a touchdown for San Francisco. So.
Looks like
throwing that out there.
Yeah, I mean it's starting to look like that they missed on that one.
Yeah.
You know, they should.
Oh, he also threw a touchdown, John? Emmanuel Sanders also threw a touchdown.
It's not
reverse hit Raheem Mostert for a touchdown.
It's not to look like that they should have went Emmanuel Sanders instead of look at this.
Mohamed Sanu, I know. Josh Allen just threw a absolute prayer up on 3rd and 10. It was like a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Ravens lead the Bills 17-9 after 3. Obviously an important game for the Patriots. We'll have more thoughts on Pats and Chiefs, plus our picks. See how we did last week and pick 3 more games for this week. Coming up here on NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
More of NFL Sunday right now with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
Back here on NFL Sunday, final half hour, Patriots and Chiefs at 4:25.
Man, now, the thing some people do.
Yeah, what did we just see? You want to explain?
Isn't he a Minuteman?
We had a guy, yeah.
He is a Minuteman. Just the guys that dress up and just, I don't know.
What's wrong with that?
There's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
You know?
Today, when I was walking over before the show, it was actually, I mean, I shouldn't laugh about this, but there was a Kansas City fan that was decked out with a jersey, had like a bear costume, and it was carrying a flag. He slipped, and he was laying on the floor, and then the ambulance had to come.
Oh, really?
And put him on a stretcher.
Blood everywhere.
And his flag was just sitting there on the floor. Oh, my God.
They didn't bring the flag with him?
Yeah, they left
the
flag.
Poor guy lost his flag.
Yeah, lost his flag.
Got a concussion, probably, you know, hurt a rib or something. So, it is slippery out there. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's a nice tailgate day.
It's going to be wild today.
You got to be warm. You got to dress warm, obviously, because it's cold. But there's no wind. There's no rain like last week.
It's a good
there's
football
no snow.
Day.
Yeah, it's a great day.
Oh, it's a great
and
day.
And people have been drinking all day. Early in the morning, they've been drinking.
It would have been even a better football day if Buffalo could beat Baltimore.
Yeah, really
I'm
that
done
Buffalo.
With this game.
Yeah,
I don't even need
Buffalo,
to watch it. I know exactly how it's going to end.
Left. Ravens up 17-9 over the Bills.
They're about to score again.
Josh Allen stinks.
I mean, the Bills, they're just...
It's Josh Allen.
He
they
stinks.
Do not have an offense. Defensively, they've been playing great, but now they're just getting tired.
Right.
They're getting worn out, and they're starting to realize that their offense can't help them.
Right.
So
they
got to
cause a turnover and score.
That's the only way. Everything has been it's been 3 field goals for the Buffalo Bills, and they've had more than enough opportunities. to figure it out.
And so, the one play that you mess up on one of the plays that you mess up Buffalo defense is they allow Hayden Hurst to run down the field wide open, blown coverage. You know, obviously, Buffalo, the offensively, you turn the ball over early in the game. So 14 points out of their 17, basically.
So the Baltimore Ravens are going to have home field advantage first round bye like, throughout the playoffs.
Right.
Yes.
That's what it looks like. Because
they will not lose again.
Right.
They are not going to lose again. Nope, I don't think so. No, Cleveland already beat them once, but, I mean, Cleveland's going to have nothing to play for right. by the time they're playing.
This is the game that you looked at and go, okay, this is the one game remaining on Baltimore's schedule that if one team could beat them and maybe play them tough and come away with a win was at Buffalo. Both teams are fighting for something, and now – going forward, there's nobody that's
going to challenge.
Well, this
also speaks to, I mean, because you guys are both just crapping on Josh Allen specifically.
For a good reason.
But that is the only signature win that the Patriots have all year. They have 10 wins, and the only one you can convince me
but see,
is
I don't
a
think
good win is Buffalo. But right? Where's the other good win?
I don't think there's a lot of signature wins out there.
No, I mean, that's a good point, too. Like, there's not a lot of teams
you thought
to
Dallas
play.
And Philly were.
Right.
Dallas and Philly, you thought they were.
Dallas,
Philly, Cleveland going into the year, you thought all three would be marquee games, and none of them are. So the only two teams that they had a chance to beat where you would say that was a real win were mm-hmm. Baltimore and Houston. You don't get either one. Kansas City, though, today, a chance for a real signature
so
win.
So you got one signature win, and Baltimore, they got two signature wins.
Well, no.
They beat San Fran. They beat the Patriots. They're going to beat Buffalo.
They beat right, Seattle. So what are you talking about? The Ravens have a million of them.
Oh, Seattle.
I don't even know if we're – I thought we weren't even counting Buffalo. Because if you don't count Buffalo for the Pats, you can't – we won't count them for – or if you're not going to count them for Baltimore, you can't count them for the Pats.
Is the Pats – is a Buffalo a signature win?
No, that's my point, is if they're not, then the Pats have zero.
Well, this game's over. It's about to be 24-9.
Lamar Jackson
is
a little touchdown pass to Willie Sneed.
Bootleg. Defense gave up.
Another bootleg. Now they do the same thing, but they have the guy filling in late, Sneed coming in late, backside.
Right.
No one covers
he
him.
He finds them because they're so they're overplaying the two guys in the at the front of the pylon and the back of the pylon and watching Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Somebody sneaks out late. There you go, touchdown.
But overall, do you guys think that if the Patriots play the Ravens in the AFC Championship game, that based on the San Francisco game and based on part of this Buffalo game, combined with already getting a look at them, that things would be much different, a little different?
I think defensively you'll be able to slow them down. You'll be able to kind of – Buffalo did a great job of keeping Lamar Jackson contained. When you look at this game, you're going to go back and go, okay, out of the 24 points that you gave up a touchdown to a tight end who was wide open running down the middle of the field.
You didn't even cover him.
You didn't even cover
him. The first drive of the second half.
The other touchdown you gave up, it was because you turned the ball over on your own 20-yard line and they get the ball on a short field, and then it's ultimately third and goal, and that's when you let him get outside. So 14 of your, 24 points that we gave up were because of dumb defensive plays. So when you look at your team, you got to say, all right, if we don't allow those plays and we make Baltimore have to work, they can't just score willy-nilly like you would think. But, I mean, can they do that? Can they do that in Baltimore in the AFC Championship game?
Yeah, the road.
I think they can.
Huge.
I do think they can. I think the Patriots can put more than 9 points on them. I think they can put by that point in time. Yeah, I think it's all up to the defense. If the defense can hold them 17, 20 points, I think you can put 24 on. And you have to end with the ball. Like I love it when like they just close this. They just basically took Buffalo's will. They grabbed the ball. They grinded it out.
Right.
Like the worst possible feeling is just know that you can't. They're physically dominating you. And again, defensively, you kind of just get defeated.
Right.
You're like. We're doing our job, it's hard as hell.
And they're getting lucky, and then they'll make that one lucky play where he rolls out on a third and four, and you have him dead to rights, and you miss him, and then boom, he just throws the ball, and then all of a sudden they pick up the first down.
It's always going to be – Allen's always going to be an anchor for him. It doesn't matter. They'll make the playoffs.
Right.
They'll win one more game because I still think they have either Miami or the Jets, one of those two teams.
Yeah, they got one of them.
They'll get to 10-6, but they'll be a good team. That's a good team in the NFL.
They'll have to go on the road, so they'll have to go to like Tennessee, or they'll have to go
Houston.
Kansas
City.
They
could
beat them. Well, if they go to Kansas City, they'll lose. But if they go to Tennessee. Houston, I don't know. Tennessee,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe they could beat
maybe.
One of those
depends
teams.
On what the linebackers for Houston dress up as. That
well,
no,
yeah, you know why? Me. You know why? Because you go to a place where the other team's offense is just eh. You can kind of get away with it if you're Buffalo.
They're a middle-of-the-road team, so they beat the teams they should beat. They beat the Jets and the Miami Dolphins of the world.
Right.
And it's a 50-50 chance with those teams that are pretty much comparable to them, the Tennessees, the Houstons of the world. That's coaching. That's field position. Mm-hmm. Don't make a mistake. You'll win. Teams that are legitimately better than them, they won't beat them.
They got no
they
offense.
They won't beat the Patriots.
Baltimore,
they won't beat
Kansas
Baltimore.
City.
They won't beat Kansas City.
They
won't
have
beat,
no offense.
You know, no, they have zero. But they're competent and good enough where they should beat the teams that they're obviously – so that's why they could be down 17 and come back and beat the Jets.
Because when we were doing tiers for coaches before, it's AFC tiers – you know, there's been years where the Patriots
are on
their own.
Look at Josh Allen's numbers.
Yeah, he's 11 of 27 for 89 yards passing, no touchdowns, no picks, lost a fumble.
And rushed for 2 yards.
Rushed for 2 yards.
And he has more rushing touchdowns than Lamar Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's rushing touchdown against the Pats. I mean, he definitely can run it. He's got over 1,000 yards in his career rushing.
And I just realized, like, all he does, he's an expert at quick passing.
That's it.
Make him – have him figure it out with 2 seconds. He can't do it. He pats it. He holds on to it. He wants to run. He takes a sack or throws an interception.
What would your AFC tiers be? Would you put the Ravens, Pats, and Chiefs all in the same one, or do you have like the do you have the Ravens above them, or what do you guys?
I would say they're all pretty much
on the same level,
same grouping.
See,
level.
I would put the Ravens alone.
I would too. I have them one. I have them as their own thing right now.
Yeah,
in the NFL,
The Chiefs and the Patriots as a tier two.
Yes.
Then you have – and tier three is Buffalo, Tennessee, Houston.
But how far are your tiers?
Pittsburgh or no?
I mean, no.
No.
No, not really.
Just the Tennessee. Yeah.
Well, because the quarterback situation is too – the tier three
hard to put Duck there. Yeah, it would be like the Colts.
Right, but how far
– tier four even.
How far is your one tier from your second
tier? Close. It's not nearly as bad as the big of a gap as it is coaches. Like Bill between everybody else.
See, I would say that if you –
But I think they're legitimately – better than the Patriots. Right
I would say even if you had them better than the Pats, the tier level would be within arm's length. I think the tier level between the Kansas City and New England and the rest of those teams, it's a lot. The gap is much greater.
Yeah, I mean, there's only three teams in the AFC that even have a chance to make the Super Bowl. Right, whereas in the NFC, you could probably squeeze out an argument for Green Bay, potentially. Or,
Like,
there's another team that you could talk yourself into.
The only three teams.
I think Baltimore has less flaws than Kansas City and New England, too.
They really don't have any.
Well, okay, so definitely less.
Yeah, no, I mean, because even like, so today was a tough day for him. He threw his first pick, but it came off some guy's hand, right?
Right, it was a bad pass, but still it was like deflected. I think it might have been Willie Snead who had the touchdown, but he like kind of tipped it.
Yeah, but his passing numbers weren't great. He didn't throw the ball a ton. They just don't ever – they don't give him opportunities to screw up.
You know what they do? Here's what I'd say they don't do. They don't make a ton of mistakes. That's the thing I've noticed with the Baltimore Ravens. They don't make a ton of mistakes.
And their defense got really shored up when they got Marcus Peters. Because a lot of the stats are misleading because it was like the first half of the season. Like Baltimore's defense now is pretty good.
Well, you know what they do good on defense? They blitz a lot. So they blitz a lot and they make it uncomfortable for the quarterback. But the thing that they do as a team, you know, they don't really turn the ball over. They don't make a ton of mistakes. They don't have stupid penalties. I noticed that a lot of teams that play them have stupid personal foul penalties that are just dumb. And, you know, they run the ball.
Yeah.
They play good. They play safe. They get good field position. And they don't – that. I think they're a very well-coached team. And in order to beat them, you can't shoot yourself in the foot with dumb things.
All right, we're going to do our picks. Buffalo driving right now. 8:16 left to go in the game. Buffalo first and goal on the one, but it's the Ravens with a 24-9 lead over the Bills. NFL Sunday is brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance, the right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com, and also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank. When we come back, we will pick the Patriots game against the spread, as well as the Sunday night game and the Monday night game. This is NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, wrapping things up here on NFL Sunday, Keith Fourier and Wiggy on WEEI. It's time now for our picks, which are brought to you by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. This season, make sure you're dashing all the way. For a limited time, the Mercedes-Benz winter event is here. Go to mbusa.com/winter event for offer details. We've been picking three games against the spread all year long, the Patriots and two others. After last week, where Fourier and Wiggy each went 2-1. Mm-hmm. I went 1-2. Mm. Let's reset the leaderboard here. Through 13 weeks of the NFL season, Fourier is 26-13. I am 24-15. Wiggy is 23-16. Very respectable across the board. We're giving you winners. That's what we're doing.
So we I'm three games out of the lead.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right there. Mm-hmm. You're right there. You're closing in. So week 14, let's start. Let's just go in order when the games start. So 4:25 here at Gillette, it'll be the Patriots 3-point favorites against the Kansas City Chiefs. Wiggy,
I gotta go at the end because I'm
okay.
I need a
can't go at the end and everyone. All right. So
I need to create.
That's the guy who did that for two straight weeks.
Right.
It was an experiment.
Right, exactly.
All right. So the Patriots have three. Getting three.
No, laying three.
They're laying three. Okay. So the
Chiefs
Kansas
are getting
City
the three.
I'll take the Chiefs.
I'm taking the Chiefs as well. Right, I think they win it outright.
I gotta go Pats.
So I'll certainly take the three. I know you're going
Which
Pats.
Which is a good bet.
That's not why you're going Pats. That's not why.
Yeah. Why?
If we both went Pats, you were also going Pats.
No. And if you both,
I just know it. Come on.
If you both went Pats, I was going Chiefs.
All right. Sure. The Sunday night game, the Seattle Seahawks at the LA Rams. Rams are favored by just a point at home.
I'll go Seattle. I'll go first on all of them.
I'll go Seattle as well.
I'll take the Rams.
Oh, so okay. Now he's playing opposites.
It's all right. Let's see if it works.
Because they're at home. Yeah. And in order for the Rams to continue to stay in the playoff hunt, they have to win this game.
That is true. And then the Monday night game, the return of Eli Manning. The New York Giants are at the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles are 9.5-point favorites.
See, I already know who I'm taking.
I'm going with the Giants. I think they cover. I don't know if they win, but 9.5 is a lot. I think Eli Manning will – he knows. Also, this is a good Eli Manning stat.
He stinks, though.
He is 500 as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
And he hasn't played all
so
year long.
So if he can get a win and then retire, he goes out as a winning quarterback. And just because I hate Eli Manning so much, that will happen so he can retire with a win
And he
record.
Hasn't played all year long. He stinks.
No, he stinks. But the Eagles stink, too.
All right, so so 9 points.
9.5.
Nine and a half.
Oh, yeah. You get the full nine and then some.
I'll take Philly. They cover.
Okay.
I'm going to go Giants.
You have to.
Yeah.
They have to.
Eli stinks, though.
Eli does stink.
He can easily go out there and throw five interceptions.
Right.
That's what I think he's going to do.
Oh, he definitely could.
He's not, I got to win. No.
He's
the Giants
a win guy.
Are done. The Philly, no, yeah. They cover easily. Right. It may be 21-0 in the first half.
There's a chance.
For Philly?
Backdoor cover.
Yeah.
I don't
know what that means.
I can see
garbage points that cover the spread. They don't win the game.
I could definitely see Eli throwing a couple picks. Maybe Buffalo has a little life left.
So Buffalo went down and scored. They now trail by 7 with under 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Ravens 24, Bills 17. Right. My question, though, to you guys was during the commercial break. So the Ravens score, and they made it 24-15, and they went for two. Now they got it, so you can say, well, it's the right call.
Right.
But I didn't get that because if you go for two and miss, you're down 9, whereas if you just kick the point, you're down you're down eight, and then it's still a one-possession game. So I don't know what the thought process
is. Yeah, I don't know. I thought they were just going to kick it and say, okay, now we stop them, we score, we got to go for the two-point conversion.
See, this is where Buffalo wins these games. There's 7 minutes left when they got the ball. They're down.
Baltimore wins.
Baltimore wins. So they will end up chewing up all this clock and then getting it. Or if they don't score, it doesn't matter. They get it in field goal range, and then the game is over.
Well, you gave them too much on first down. You gave them 4 yards on first. So now it's second and six. They're going to run it again.
So you just got to get the ball back. So here's what, this is how they kill you. So now it's going to be third and three, third and four maybe. Mm-hmm. And they just keep getting third down after third down after
Down. Your first down, which was Lamar Jackson, read option. He keeps it and gets to the outside. You give him too much. You have to, on first down, you got to make sure that they get 1-2 yard games, and you want to put them in third and seven.
We'll
now it's third and three. What do you think they're going to do here? Read option. Lamar's going to keep it and get outside.
Yeah, but I also say this is a good position for Buffalo because usually – Baltimore goes for it on fourth down. Their analytics,
but not in this situation.
I know. So now you're thinking it's not four down territory,
right?
So you change your thinking as far as philosophy goes. So you call a defense knowing that they're going to have to punt if they don't get it. So they decide to roll out sprint option right. Nobody's
there.
Incomplete. Huge play by the Buffalo Bills.
But what did they want to do? They wanted to get Lamar outside contained. Roll them out. Hey, if nobody's open, run it. But they created and they built a good wall.
All right, tomorrow on WEEI, Tom Brady will be on the Greg Hill Show. Wiggy will be in with me and Dale. We'll be joined by James.
I'm not in with you guys tomorrow.
That's right.
It was a last-minute thing.
You'll switch your roof. So you're in the morning. Actually, Andy Hart's in with us.
Yeah,
that's right.
Fitzy, I guess Fitzy needed the day off.
All right, so he's off. And then Bill Belichick, of course, will be on with OMF. Do we get a good mood Bill or a bad mood Bill tomorrow?
It doesn't matter. They're all the same to me. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, all right.
I love the Shady McCoy question that Lou asked.
Oh, that was so good.
It doesn't matter. Like Michael Lombardi was like, yeah, ask him a question like this. I'm like, shut up.
Like, don't give me any tips. I
don't know if you know this, Lou, but Shady, McCoy's one of the best backs.
He's got more yards.
If you missed any of today's show, remember you can listen to the entire program on the radio.
Let's go,
app,
Buffalo!
Using the new Rewind feature. If you still don't have the app, just text app to 37937. Thanks to Doug here
Doug.
Our broadcast booth.
Doug?
Thanks to John back in Brighton.
John?
We will
Let's go, Buffalo.
Talk to everybody. Enjoy the Pats game. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.